اسلام در میان ما بود، پیغمبر ما رو به اتحاد دعوت میکرد.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking Unity Week, and blessings and congratulations to you all on the auspicious birth of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Now, to talk with us about unity, we have in the studio Sayyid Behbahani. Let's go ahead and welcome him to the show. Sayyid Behbahani, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam, dear Sayyid Shayar. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audiences.
So, Sayyid Behbahani, we're talking about Unity Week. We have released two different talk shows on Unity Week, excellent talk shows from different guests. We want to thank you for taking time out and coming and joining us on the talk show. So, I mean, let's go ahead and just start discussing Unity Week. I'd love to see what you have in store for us. Bismillah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبحين السعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صلى الله على محمد وآله محمد الحمد لله رب العالمين that we are living in an era that we are talking about these subjects and the subject matter it's about unity between all Muslim ummah
yes
that all the infallibles all the imams and prophet himself and even prophet before our beloved prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم they tried to unite their followers and this yes. was one of the most important and priority goal that they have they had in their plan for sure we see some disunity among Muslim ummah in our time and alhamdulillah that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh chose the week that you know start from 12th of Rabi to 17th of Rabiul Awal in order to talk about unity between Muslim Ummah. Why? Because 12th of Rabi in for the brothers of Ahl Sunnah right. is the birthday of our Prophet and yes. for the Shia is the 17th of Rabi Al Awal. So Alhamdulillah we're blessed to have this talk and to shine and basically clear the what means unity, what is the obstacles and causes that create disunity right. among ourselves. And inshallah we go and inshallah we talk about these things.
Inshallah. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, so we're talking about what do we mean by Islamic unity?
For sure.
Go ahead, yeah.
Well, my brother Sayyid, when we talk about unity, there is three ways of unity. Well, first of all, we have a unity in point of view or views, which is natural disunity among people. Right. They don't have unity. Some people, because of they have more knowledge or less knowledge,
right.
or different background, different way of understanding the world around them. They see more or they see less, as our Prophet says, "La taqif ma laysa laka bihi ilm," meaning, do not consider whatever you know as the absolute knowledge. You know, right. yes, you know in some of the level, but for sure there is more to know always about the haq, the truth.
Right. Yes. Sure.
So this is one unity. This is one disunity actually that is happening. It's right. natural among people.
Right. Another differences
of opinion. Yeah. Of opinion. Exactly. Sure. Another differences that we have is differences in actions.
Right.
Which this is caused by people having different talent and potential, and also living in different conditions.
Sure.
Some people have talents and or living in the condition to be rich. Some people living in a condition to be poor. Some people living in condition to have different jobs, consider comparing to others.
Right.
So this disunity is not causing a problem.
Right. And the first one, which was disunity in point of view, that doesn't cause a problem
that
either.
Doesn't.
And this is disunity in actions, and this also doesn't cause a problem. Sure. Okay.
But what is the unity that we're talking about and it caused the problem among ummah is disunity in direction, in disunity, the path and the goal that they are moving forward towards it.
Sure.
So what is happening, for sure, this unity in action, we might have unity in action in some cases. For example, we all do Salat, we all do Hajj, we all do these things. But in other senses, we have some disunity differences in our action that which are not causing any problem. For example, I give you an example of an automobile, of a car, that you have different pieces that each piece does different actions.
Right.
But they're all united in order to turn on the car and, you know, drive and move on. So the most important thing is this is a unity on direction, on the goal.
Right.
And so this is our focus.
Yes.
When we say unity among Muslim, we're talking about unity in direction.
Right.
We have a related narration from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he says, "Ikhtilaf ummati rahmatun."
Yes.
So people says that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says differences among my ummah and my nation is a blessing.
Yes.
So for sure, he talks about differences among ummah,
right,
among nation. What it means, ummah? Ummah means that they are united in direction.
Right.
But these differences that Prophet ﷺ talking about, these differences in actions. You know, some people work, some people are a scholar that studies, some people are, soldiers in army. So right, we have differences in action. This is a blessing because each person, based on their talent, based on their condition of their life, they come up with different actions. But it's ummah. So what is relied, what is the meaning relying in ummah, in nations?
That they're united.
Is united in direction.
Hmm. So this, Sayyid Bahmani, this is very interesting. So for example, you gave this this example of a car. This car is made up of different parts, right? Whether it's the wheel or the engine or the steering wheel, windows, etc. But all of these are working towards one direction. They're working for one goal. Right, and that's what makes it important. I think it's a very interesting and a very relevant example. So, and so you're saying this is how the Islamic Ummah and the Muslims need to look at themselves, right? So, for example, as in the example of a car, if the tire goes flat, the car stops moving. If the engine breaks down, the car stops moving. Right? If you don't have the keys, the car stops moving. And this is what we're seeing in the Islamic world among the Muslims, that these different pieces in different countries, when they stop working, the Muslim Ummah is the one who takes harm. It is the Muslim Ummah who is at a disadvantage. Right?
Exactly.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I agree with that. And this is problems, and this problem in that example is a flat of tire or missing key or other things. But in our subject, the problem, it comes to shirk. I have to explain that we have two kind of shirk. Mm-hmm. All right, shirk we have in beliefs that we, as a Muslim, we don't have. We believe in one God. And shirk in believing means believing in involvement of others.
Yes, partners.
Partners in affairs of universe. That we don't usually have that difference. So what we have shirk is a shirk in action. Mm-hmm. That means our action is not aligned, is not towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very easy to examine that. What is our stimulus and motives that our action is relying on? Just asking ourselves some very easy questions. For example, what is making us to wake up every morning to work, to endure some of the hardship in our jobs and life? There is usually two stimulus, two motives that we are engaged with. One is desires.
Right.
And another thing is manifestation of the beauty of this dunya.
Right.
With these two, is a tool in the hand of shaitan to attack us. What shaitan does, adorn the dunya in front of our eyes, and also what he does is to manipulate our heart to go after desires. Mm-hmm. So even if we get rid of these two stimulus and motives, there is a third motive that usually we are stick with it and we are engaged in it, is the word of others, the peer pressure of the society, the judgment of the people around us.
Yes.
That usually we our action rely on what other people thinks about us. So this is another stimulus and motives that makes us move forward. Mm-hmm. So,
and can you make this connection then with Islamic unity, right? So for example, people who are driven by selfish desires, who are driven by the glamour and the fake mirage of the world, and people who come under the peer pressure of, for example, people who promote disunity, these are some of the causes of disunity among the Muslims.
This is exactly the equivalent to the flat tire or missing key.
Yes.
When a country, when when the responsible of a country, a Muslim country, they are after the desires, they are after the
power and wealth,
this cause a flat tire in that machine of Ummah of Islam.
Yes.
Cannot move.
Right.
Understand? So one of the signs, just want to add to the subject, one of the signs of mu'min, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says, he says, لا يجد الرجل حلاوة الإيمان في قلبه حتى يبالي من أكل الدنيا. Meaning that a person will not taste, will not find the sweetness of Iman in his heart until he becomes indifference about who took dunya, who have dunya.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You understand? Meaning that the wealth, it shouldn't be our goal.
Yes.
This dunya should not be our goal. And yes, for example, one of the problems that we have today is that people, they don't consider the enemy of Islam as their enemy. Why? Because today enemies, they come with presentation of wealth and the adoration of dunya to you. And people think, oh, this guy is my friend then. He gives me wealth, he gives me comfortability, you know. But let's say if Muawiyah gave money and gave wealth and gave power to, for example, Zubair and Talha, was it because he liked them? No, because he wants to milk them.
Yes.
He wants to use them. So for sure, if the enemy of Islam comes to us and gives us wealth, it's not because he likes us, it's not because he's our friend.
Yes.
It's because he wants to use us.
And it's interesting, if I just want to go along with what you said.
Yes.
If you look at you know, and these are self-proclaimed enemies of Islam, right? Whether via their actions or their words, right? Invading Muslim countries, you know, sponsoring wars between one Muslim country and another Muslim country. So these are self-proclaimed proclaimed enemies of Islam. And you will find that one of the things that they love to do is to promote disunity among the Muslims.
Exactly. What's happening between communists, there is an agreement between communism, the Soviet Union in the past, and English countries in the West, in order to place Zionists in the hearts of a Muslim country, in order to make sure that there's disunity among Muslims.
Right.
So, give you an example. There was lots of Jewish people in Soviet Union back in the time that they really wanted to get rid of that. And there were lots of worries among the English countries to not let the Muslim country to get united and again create emperor as an Ottoman emperor.
Sure.
So for sure they came up with a plan, and they kind of like create a middle guy as Zionist in order to come in the heart of Muslim country and create disunity among us. Mm-hmm. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that la tahanu wa la tahzanu wa antum a'launa in kuntum mu'minin. That means if you are mu'min, if you are a true believer is what? Is united, the believers are united among themselves.
Yes.
This is one of the main characteristics of believers. If we are a true mu'min and we are united in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no hardship, there will be no huzn, that means weakness or sadness and sorrow among us. There will be no, and we are alone. We are we will become the people that are in the highest position spiritually, and also power. As a power, yes. We will become powerful in the front of enemy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that to us.
Yes, in the Holy Quran. And so what's interesting here is that the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he also emphasizes on this. He has emphasized that one of the main, or if not the main issue confronting the Muslim world and confronting the Islamic world is the issue of Palestine. And in other places he has referred to this point that it was because of the disunity of the Muslim world and the Muslims in general, it was because of their disunity that these foreign powers were able to come and not only break the Ottoman Empire, break the Muslims, create this fake boundaries and nationalism, but also to establish a state for the Zionist state, right? The Zionist state was established because of the disunity and the weakness of the Muslims. And so here, as you said, that the Holy Quran is telling us the opposite. If you are united, then you will become strong. You won't let people come and rob your lands and take your lands and steal your property and your belongings. So I think that's a very valid point there.
There is a way to become united. There is one of the aspects to become united. There's many ways. First is common enemy. Secondly, for example, is slogans. Slogans works when you have a common enemy.
Right.
So we have to understand that we have a common enemy at first place. So I just said that some of the people don't see that we have a common enemy because they think these enemy, because they're showing the beauty of the world and they give them wealth or comfortability in this life, they are friends,
right.
But they are not friends, they are common. So one of the things is to realize that we have a common enemy, and the most important thing is to having a one purpose, one goal, a purpose and goal that is so large and so vast that also swallow and get all the plans of kuffar and munafiqin with himself. There is no such a goal more large and more vast than haq.
Yes.
The goal of truth, the goal of haq is so immense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. That means they are doing their plans, but Allah, which is haq, that plan is so vast, is so immense that even that little kafir or that little munafiq that thinks he does, he plans against Islam, against haq, he is actually playing a role towards this goal. That means towards the truth, not against it. But he thinks he works against it, but actually he works towards the haq.
Right.
Because the haq as a goal is so immense that swallow all other plans with him.
Yeah, can I want to go back to this idea of, because it seemed like the first, one of the first things, of course, is this common enemy idea, right? If we as Muslims cannot see that there is one common enemy that is trying to destroy not only the Muslims, but Islam in general. So again, I bring, you know, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, because he has these very beautiful, profound statements. And really, my humble belief is that all across the world, this is the one leader who is actually saying something out there on a global level, right? And so here he says a couple of very interesting things about the common enemy, right? He says that don't think that the United States of America or Israel are just the enemies of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He says, no, these guys are just as much the enemies of Saudi Arabia and all these other Muslim countries, right? And then it was interesting, he said something, he said that Well, first of all, he said, if a country comes to you and says that, you know, you are a milking cow.
Exactly.
He says, is this, and you referred to this, is this not a huge insult? Meaning they don't care about you, they only care about your wealth and your oil. But he does refer to this idea of a common enemy, and that that America and Israel are not the they're not limited to being the enemies of the Islamic Republic. They are the enemies of the Saudis as well, who they consider to be their friends. But one last thing he said was that why are they the enemies of these Muslim countries? And so the Ayatollah Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he says it is the very essence of Islam.
Exactly.
It is the nature of Islam. You know, let's say the wujud of Islam, which they are against, and this is why they're against the Muslims.
For sure, if Islam get into the power, for sure there will be no place for oppressors in order to go after the dunya, in order to create a comfortable life for themselves. Because Islam is against oppressors.
Yes, exactly.
It's against oppressing towards people. And Islam is to pursuing Idala, which is justice among people. And these oppressors, they don't want that.
Right.
What they want is to create chaos in some of the continent, for example, Africa, and gain money from it and, you know, live their own comfortable life.
Yes.
So what is causing our disunity comes back to the aspect that I just said in the beginning. There is a shirk in our action among Muslims, among us. If we purify the intention of our action for the cause of Islam, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will get united and we'll be holding to the habl, to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
وَاَعْتَسَمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُفَرَّقُوا. That means if you holding to the habl of Allah, you are united.
Yes, of course.
And this habl, it will not break down. You know, when he says, لَا إِكْرَافِ الدِّينِ قَدْ تَبَيْنَ رُشْتُ مِنَ الْغَيْ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. So one of the essential condition in order to holding to this rope is to have kufr towards taghut, that means disbelieving taghut, and amanu billah, that means believing in Allah, that means having the love towards Allah, directing all the purpose of our life towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we become those, among those ummah, we become among those people that are the true mu'min that are holding to the rope of Allah, lam fisama laha. That means there is no breakdown in this rope. And then we become a'alaun. That means we become powerful in all directions, spiritually and...
Yeah, no, I just want to reiterate, or more so, I want to make sure that this point that you put forth, because it's very profound, right? That this this iman is not just one-sided. Iman that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we, you know, for example, we pray five times a day and we fast and we go to Hajj and we go to Ziyarat, you know, or these kind of, we pay charity, sadaqah and alms, and that's it. No, as this in this, you know, Ayatul Kursi, which you recited, right?
Yes.
For the viewers, of course, this was Ayatul Kursi.
Yes.
Here, it's not just this iman in Allah. Is this kufr against the taghut.
Exactly.
It is this rejecting the taghut. It is and so just to kind of open it up so that there aren't any you know, ambiguities. So when we're talking about taghut,
is anything except
rebels,
Allah.
Well, anybody who rebels against Allah.
Exactly.
You see?
Exactly.
And so these people who rebel against Allah, they are openly fighting against God, they're rebelling against God, rebelling against the commandments of God, you know. And of course, commandments brought by Jesus and Moses and Prophet Muhammad, you know, peace and blessings upon him and the rest of these prophets. So this iman, this of a mu'min, is in these two aspects. One is iman in Allah, And the other was?
Is Kufr Tahu. Exactly.
Yes.
So one of the essential points that some of the brother of Ahl Sunnah thinks, and there is some of these way of thinking among our brother Shia, they think that unity means everybody do Salat in the same way,
yes.
Everybody go to Hajj with the same Sharia, everybody fast in the same way, or, you know, so that if Shia doing in another sort of way, and as Brother Al-Sunnah doing another sort of way, we cannot unite it. No.
No. Yeah.
So I just clarify that this is unity in action.
Right.
And this does not cause problems.
Right.
What is causing problem for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is disunity in direction.
Right.
You know, he could, those things, those differences in action could be debated in scholars, between
sure.
scholars and in an academic environment.
Yeah, in an academic environment, yes.
So there's nothing to do with this dispersion between ummah and people.
Right. Right.
So what is happening, that there is a dispersion among ummah, is that we have this unity of direction, of
right.
intention, of goal. If we are all united against Kufr, there's no country, no other disbelievers country or regime could do any harm to us.
To any of the Muslims,
anywhere in the world.
Yes. Sayyid Babani, I just want to ask one more thing, because we've kind of run out of time, unfortunately, on the program. This one thing that I wanted to ask was, other than this common enemy, what is something else that we can do as far as a common direction or a common goal between all the Muslims?
This is a very good point that you mentioned, and the answer is in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. We have to see each other as brothers.
Right, help each other, assist each other.
And also justify each other's mistakes.
Right.
We don't have to right away guard against each other if we did mistakes.
Right.
We have to cooperate with each other,
right.
you know. As Rasulullah says, "Za amra akhik ala ahsani." That means interpret the affairs or the action of your brother in the best way possible.
Yes.
Justify if there is a mistake. So we have to act as brothers towards each other. We should not, right away become enemy because of a small mistakes or a small problem that is created among us. You know, we have to be like those brothers that they are holding the rope of Allah Habl, in order that rope will guide us to Bunyanun Marsus, to create a very solid building that will not be demolished by any power.
Mm-hmm. Ahsant. Sayyid, I was going to close the talk show, I was going to conclude, but there is this one interesting thing that came to my mind, and I think we should address it, inshallah. I think it's appropriate and it's necessary. So I think we've all witnessed the recent terrorist attacks in Afghanistan, right? One was in the city of Qunduz, and the other one, I believe, was in the city of Kandahar. And both of these terrorist attacks have occurred on the day of Friday, during Salatul Jummah, on the Friday prayers, when these Muslims, these Shia Muslims, they were going to pray, or while they were praying in a mosque, in a house of God, right, with their children, sons and daughters, brothers, fathers, you know, and these bomb blasts have really, they're very sad, they're very tragic. And so it's interesting that within this idea of Islamic unity, these terrorists, we talked about Taghut, and I would like to ask you that these terrorists are classified as Taghut. They are classified as the enemies of Allah. They are classified as the enemies of Islam.
But Sayyid, they've been classified as terrorists, as enemy of Allah. They are being armed by them. They are being trained by them. They are
yes.
being manipulated by them. Why? Because in order to create chaos among Muslims, and with the power or the emperor of the media, to use this chaos against Muslim themselves to create this unity.
Yes.
This is absolute strategy of kuffar, of disbelievers, of those that are against the unity among Muslim, in order to create chaos and use that in order to create disunity among Muslims.
Sayyid Behbahani, thank you so much for joining us on the program. May Allah
thank
bless you today and always.
And it was
dear,
a blessing.
Alhamdulillah, it was a great discussion.
Alhamdulillah.
Dear viewers, thank you very much for joining us on this Islamic Pulse talk show Unity Week special. Please be safe. May Allah keep all of you protected. Again, blessings on the auspicious birth of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. And stay united today and always. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.